This is KLW, San Francisco Local Public Radio, and now it's time for the Bay Area's favorite quiz show, Minds Over Matter, with your host, Dana Rodriguez.
Oh, am I on now? Okay. Thanks, Damien. And welcome, everybody, to Minds Over Matter. We hope you are having a lovely weekend. And we also hope that you can spare us an hour of your time tonight, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So please give us that participation. That's very, very important. The number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or you can call toll-free. Yes, we have a toll-free number here at KALW. And that's in the budget, I guess. It's 866-798-8255. That is 866-798-8255. Most of our lines are open right now. I think the one from Union City is busy, but most of our lines are open. So please give us a call as soon as you can if you have a question for us, or if you'd like to wait a couple minutes, we'll have some questions for you, and then you can call with an answer, hopefully. So just to remind you, we'll be covering current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. So once more, that's 415-841-4134 and toll-free 866-798-8255. Our email address is mindsovermatter, that's one word, mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. It's always great to hear from our listeners. Feel free to email us any old time. And if you would like to hear our show online, you can do that anywhere in the world simply by going to kalw.org, kalw.org. And if you want a podcast of this show, I won't ask why, but if you want a podcast of the show, you must be a wonderful person.
People repeat the listening. They like to listen more than once, I hear.
I think so. Yeah. It helps put people to sleep late at night. And that's also at kalw.org, and that should be available reasonably soon after our show tonight, along with some of our older shows. So, all that being said, we are start with the round of introductions, and here's the first. Jerry Nachman has decided to hire one of the elephants being let go by Ringling Brothers after decades of faithful service. Jerry believes he can teach an old pachyderm new tricks.
Thank you. Not knowing what to give up for Lent, Lori Fisher went online and found out from CatholicVote.org. They recommend giving up Girl Scout cookies, Twitter, the Frozen soundtrack, taxidermy, and finally, quote, giving things up, unquote. Shockingly, he has been successful at all of these.
I have, and that's true.
Cookies, too?
Yeah. Well, Girl Scout cookies. Yeah. Not all cookies. Since it's said that elephants never forget, our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, thought that one of those Ringling Brothers retirees would be a perfect panelist on Minds Over Matter.
All right. So that is us. We'll begin the questioning with Jerry Nachman.
Okay. What bird is the Audubon Society's actual emblem?
It must be an American bird, I would think.
I don't have no idea.
All right. Yeah, you don't ask many bird questions, and there's probably a good reason behind that.
If it's a good question, I'll ask it.
Okay.
So Audubon's American.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it is an American.
Is this a bird you're familiar with? Can I ask you that?
I've heard of it, yeah.
Have you ever eaten one of them?
No, I don't think it's edible.
Okay.
So it's not the capon.
Go rolling along? No? Let's see. Okay, so you've heard of it.
So this would be on the...
It's not a bird you would find in your backyard, I'll give you that.
All right, that's important.
So if you've heard of it, there's only like five or six birds that were...
No,
really? Okay.
Jerry knows his birds. But the emblem appears like on their stationery and on the Audubon flag.
I'm not a member, so I don't know, but...
I'm going to go with the owl, some kind of owl.
No, that's a good bird. Yeah.
It's a good-looking bird.
Excellent bird.
Yeah.
Remember the owl drugstores in San Francisco?
Oh, yeah.
Whatever happened to that?
Not to change the topic.
No, yeah. That's all right.
The people are going to Mason and Powell because they're all going to
I saw a movie not too long ago, filmed in San Francisco, and had a prominent... They drove down Market Street, and they had the owl drugstore.
Sarah was at Market and Powell?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Sorry.
And I also remember Rexall.
I remember Rexall, yeah.
Right. Okay. Sorry, we were way off topic here.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay. Let me think. All right, I'm going to reserve that. Read the question once more, please.
What bird is the Audubon Society's actual emblem? emblem.
Okay. Good question.
Emblem.
Emblem.
And is it, just out of curiosity, this is not going to help me at all. Is this, when you look at the emblem on the, have you ever seen the emblem on the Audubon Society? Are you familiar with that at all?
Not the official emblem, but I know that I've seen that, the bird, a picture.
Like, is it like a plane picture? I mean, you would see the whole bird.
Yeah,
like
I've never seen the actual.
All right, no. All right. Well, somebody knows
what,
who's.
What are you looking for? Like
a member of the Audubon Society.
Wingspan,
yeah, just kind of.
How would that wouldn't help you, as you say. That's,
no, not really.
He's stalling.
He's killing.
Killing airtime, is that
it? Killing time.
Yeah.
Okay, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
You're from Union City.
Hello.
And a couple questions.
Okay.
Of course, you know, on Friday, you know that Harv Bennett, the film and television producer,
go back and start again.
Stop.
Please.
Start.
Slow, slow.
Friday, Harv Bennett, he was best known for producing the Star Trek films, just died.
Oh, yeah, right. Star Trek. Oh, yes, yes.
He first came famous on what radio game show?
Oh, the guy who produced the Star Trek.
Who's that, Roddenberry?
No, it wasn't Roddenberry. I'd read the obit someplace. So, I'm sorry, he produced a game show? That's where he started?
No, he first gained fame on what radio game show?
Oh.
As a contestant?
Yeah.
Radio 20 questions? Show.
Nope.
It pays to be ignorant?
No.
What other?
Dr. IQ?
No.
What's my line?
No.
No, what's the one, stop the...
Can you top this?
No, can you top this? The one that pushed Fred Allen off the air. What was that called? Something to do with stop the...
Stop the music?
Stop the music?
Stop the band?
Stop the music.
Nope. No, that's not it.
$64 question.
No.
That's good. Right.
No, we don't know.
It was Quiz Kids.
Quiz Kids. Oh, he's one of the Quiz Kids.
He was one of the kids.
Oh, yeah, I read that. I saw that obit. Yes, right.
What's his name?
His real name, Harv Fish something, I forget.
Bennett, something Bennett. Harv Bennett.
Yeah, that was not his real name.
No, his real name was Fishbine or something like that. Yeah.
Dr.
Like
Morris Fishbine.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I read that. I should have got that. Good question, yeah.
What's the other one?
My second question.
All right.
You remember last week you were talking about Floria LaGuardia, that Italian-Americans documentary aired a couple of weeks ago?
Right, that was Jerry's question about LaGuardia.
It was not mentioned. Gina Marchetti, who played with the Baltimore Colts, his parents got a early release from an Italian-American internment camp because of what?
Oh, so Gino Marchetti got released from Italian-American...
No, his parents got released from an Italian-American internment camp because of what?
Were they ill?
No.
No.
It had something to do with him,
yeah.
Gino Marchetti.
Well, he was a star, right? Was he a baseball player?
He's a
football player.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with football.
Something to do with football.
Okay.
So some way they needed to support their kid?
No.
No.
No, we don't know.
Was he injured?
I'll give you a clue. That's something to do with World War II.
He was in a bond drive. He quit the team to join up?
No.
What?
You give up?
Yeah.
It was because of his heroics in the Battle of the Bulge.
Oh. You mean Marchetti's heroics?
Yeah, he served in in the Battle of the Bulge, and because of his heroics, his parents got released from an Italian American internment camp.
Oh, okay.
Didn't know.
All right, thanks, Gareth.
Yeah.
Bye bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Lori, it's your turn.
All right. Well, one of my friends called me and liked this question, so I'm asking another version. After Leonard Nimoy died, I asked about which characters on TV had gone on to the movies. This time I'm going to give you characters' names who are in TV shows, and, is that better? And I want to know who played them on TV and then who played the same character in the movie. Does that make sense? So I'll give you these names of characters. They're all well-known TV characters who then ended up in the movies.
Oh, I see. Right.
So tell me the TV show, which you'll know, and then who played them on TV and who played them in the movies.
Okay.
The first one is Uncle Fester. Second one is Artemis Gordon. Number three is Dave Starsky, which might be obvious. Number four is Julie Barnes. And the fifth and my favorite is Miss Jane Hathaway. So I want to know the TV show, who played him on TV, and who played the same character in the movies. Uncle Fester, Artemis Gordon, Dave Starsky, Julie Barnes, and Miss Jane Hathaway, all really well-known TV shows and movies.
Didn't Jackie Coogan play Uncle Fester?
Yeah. Jackie Coogan.
What show was it?
Oh, is the
Adams family? Was the Adams
Munsters,
family?
Munsters, yeah.
And then not the Munsters.
The Adams family.
Yeah, same as you guessed last week.
Yeah, the Adams family.
And
Christopher Lloyd played him in the movie.
Very good. All right, that knocks out one of them. Uncle Fester was Jackie Coogan and Christopher Lloyd.
And could you go over those other names?
Sure. Artemis Gordon, Dave Starsky.
Dave Starsky.
Mm-hmm. Julie Barnes and Miss Jane Hathaway.
Well, Artemis Gordon, I know because that was one of my favorite shows growing up. Wild Wild West.
Yeah. And who played him?
Ross Martin.
That's right.
And then Kevin Kline played him in the movie.
Very good. Give yourself a bell on that. So I think we'll remove you from the rest.
All right.
Okay, so we're looking for Dave Starsky, Julie Barnes, and Miss Jane Hathaway.
Is that Starsky of Starsky and Hutch?
It is Starsky. Okay, and then who played him?
I have no idea. I just know the name.
All right. All right. Leave that out.
We'll leave the three out there.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
I think I have an answer for the Audubon bird emblem.
Good. Okay.
I think it's either an egret or a heron.
It's the great egret.
Wow.
Very good.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
No
egret?
Great egret as opposed to the not-so-great egret.
I thought it was no egrets.
Sorry. All right, let's see. You remember last week I asked the top two-word rhyming combinations that you would find in pop music in the last 50 years. Okay,
yeah.
I'm not going to ask that again.
Yes, the least popular.
Jerry rhymes. Enjoyed that so much.
No.
So what I am going to ask is, what is the most common two-word rhyming combination pair in Shakespeare's sonnets?
Oh.
So what is the most popular or most common two-word rhyming word pair in Shakespeare's sonnets?
You just want the top.
Only the one, yeah.
And is it
top.
A straight rhyme or one of his little
It's a straight
rhymes.
Rhyme. Okay. Yeah.
June and spoon.
And moon. We're never going to get the moon and spoon.
What is so rare as a day in June? What does that rhyme with? Moon. June
no.
and moon.
No, you're going to keep trying that, aren't you? No,
well,
that's not
that's
it.
All I know. Shakespeare's sonnets, I don't know so well.
How about me and thee?
That is exactly right.
There you go.
Good job.
How many are you looking for?
That's it.
That was it.
Well, that's it.
The English major finally paid off.
Yeah. Okay. I'll give you another question here. Now, there have been many misquotations of Shakespeare's lines, some of them so common that everybody thinks they're the real one. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the common misquotation of a Shakespeare line, and I want you to tell me, you have to get it exactly right, what the real line is.
This is tough. How many?
Three. Okay. All right, here we go. Well, let me go through all of them, please. First one is bubble, bubble, toil, and trouble. Bubble, bubble, toil, and trouble.
And that's incorrect.
That is incorrect. That is a common usage, but it is incorrect. So number two is to gild the lily. To gild the lily. That is, again, incorrect, but it's a common usage, so tell me what the actual line is. And number three is lead on Macduff. Lead on
Okay,
Macduff.
I got the second one.
Again, so that is incorrect, so tell me what the line actually is in Shakespeare. Okay, give me the first one if you want.
No, I'll give you
the second one,
the middle
I'm sorry.
One.
Go ahead.
It's to paint the lily.
No.
Yes, it is.
That is not the line. That is not the whole line. I need the whole line.
Well, I don't know the whole line, but that's...
It's a short line.
I thought you were just going for the expression.
Well, that's part of it. That's part of it, but
it's
that's
paint,
not...
right?
It is paint the lily, yeah.
Okay, but
I should
more.
Get a bell for that, shouldn't I?
I'm going to
get.
We'll see.
I don't control the
Half
bells.
A bell.
You know what? I'd give you a bell. I don't control the bells.
Well, you're a good guy, Dana. Yeah.
You'll see when you hear the whole line that you have to have it all together.
Oh, well, okay.
Is lead on Macduff actually lay on Macduff?
It is lay on Macduff.
Very good. Very
yes,
good.
Yes, which means a totally different thing,
yeah.
by the way. All right, lead on Macduff.
What does
is
lay on Macduff mean?
Lay on Macduff is he's urging violence.
Yeah.
To lay on him.
Yes. I think it's to kill him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other one, bubble, bubble, toil, and trouble.
Said it, bubble, bubble, toil, and trouble?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not it.
Something. Okay.
All right.
Is it bubble, bubble, boil?
No. That's not it either.
All right.
That's
so,
better.
So once more, the misquotation is bubble, bubble, toil, and trouble. And I'm looking for the actual line. And the other one is to gild the lily. And Jerry has part of it, but it's not the whole thing I'm looking for.
Somebody will call in with the other part.
All right. I'll give you one more here. After Edgar Allan Poe, who are the two most filmed American authors? after Edgar Allan Poe, who are the two American authors that have had their works most adapted into movies?
That's good. Is it much more contemporary?
I don't think I'm going to say
Are they novelists or playwrights?
They're not playwrights.
But none. That was not and not poets, probably. But fiction writers. These are fiction
they're
writers.
They're just pretty strictly fiction writers.
Yeah.
Hemingway.
No.
Is it someone more like Hemingway or more like Elmore Leonard? You know, more...
I don't think I'm going to give any more hints.
Yeah, I think more like Elmore Leonard, I would think.
So, and how many? Poe
just
is,
two. I'm only looking
no,
for
no,
two.
No, two authors, but is it like 50 films or more like... Do you have the number?
Oh, a lot.
Oh, that
A lot. I mean, not as much as Poe, obviously, but a reasonable amount.
Okay.
So once more, after Edgar Allan Poe, who are the two most filmed American authors?
Is either of them contemporary?
I don't think I'm going to tell
you. Stephen King.
Stephen King is one.
Okay.
That's the contemporary.
That was a good hint, sure.
I get an assist on that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you get an assist. Okay. Partial credit.
Is the other one no longer living?
Not to my knowledge. All right. You're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. If you'd like to join us here, and we certainly welcome that, the number is area code 415-841-4134, or call toll-free at 866-798-8255. And our panel tonight is well-known Bay Area author Jerry Nachman from Diablo Valley College, teacher Lori Fisher, and I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Deanna from New York.
Hello.
Hi. I have a guess for who played Starsky in the movie.
Who do you think?
Owen Wilson?
He played Hutch. Yeah. How about his partner?
And I'll have to brush up on my Shakespeare, but I do have some questions for you.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to name four prominent women. I'll give you their names, and you tell me what they are known for.
So are they all known for the same thing, or are they all known for different things?
They're all known for individual accomplishments.
Okay.
So Valentina Tereshkova.
Valentina what?
Tereshkova.
I don't know what it is.
All right.
Okay. Rosalind Franklin.
How do you spell that?
Franklin, F-R-A-N-K-L-I-N.
Right. Oh, Franklin. Oh, I didn't know. Okay. Rosalind Franklin. Okay.
Yes.
Sorry.
Jeanette Rankin.
Right.
Who?
Jeanette Rankin.
Oh, yeah.
Don't stop her after every name, Jerry.
Well, I didn't hear it. There's something wrong with my headphones.
And Lena Wertmuller.
Okay, I know.
Or Wertmuller.
Right. I know the last one for sure.
Yeah, we all know that one.
She's a director.
Right.
And she did Seven Beauties. And,
well, Janet Rankin was the first woman to run for president.
No, she was not. Janet Rankin was a congresswoman from Montana for two terms. One, in the first term, she voted against American participation in World War I. And in the second term, she voted against American participation in World War II.
Wow.
So, yes.
She did not run for president?
She did not run for president, to my knowledge.
Okay.
Is that
the first woman in Congress?
First woman in Congress. Okay. And to my knowledge, I think she was Republican. I think, but I'm not absolutely positive about
that. And we got Lena Wertmuller, right? The film director?
The film director. Who was the first?
The first to be
nominated for best director. Right? First woman to be nominated.
Franklin. Mm-hmm.
Rosalind Franklin. Was she was that DNA, Rosalind Franklin?
That is correct. She made significant contributions to the understanding
right.
of the molecular structures of DNA.
And
Did she work with Watson and Crick?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But never got the credit.
Obviously.
And Valentina Tereshkova, was that the cosmonaut?
Yes, she was the first woman to have flown in space.
That's okay. Good job.
Pretty good. Very good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, hi, is that me?
It is you.
Oh, hi, Dana. This is Matt in San Francisco.
Hi, Matt.
Hi. Okay, let's see. Jane Hathaway.
Yes.
Played by Nancy Culp on television.
Yes,
right.
And the movie She was played by Lily Tomlin.
Yeah, and what show was it?
Oh, I'm sorry, The Beverly Hillbillies.
Absolutely correct.
Thank you. And the author, one of the authors whose novels have been made into movies, would that be Tom Clancy?
Not Tom Clancy, although plenty of movies have been made from his work. Yeah, you're right about that. But not the one right after Poe, anyway.
I see. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And Jerry, I think it's your turn.
Okay. Well, this is my kind of my outdoor themed this evening. In what states would you find these national parks? Isle Royal.
Isle Royal?
That's the first. I'll just read them all. There's about five.
Okay.
Theodore Roosevelt. Congaree, Congaree. Acadia. And Great Basin.
It's Great Basin, Wyoming?
No.
Okay.
Acadia is a huge park, and I believe it's in Maine.
That's correct. That's the easy one.
I think it's, biggest national park on the East Coast.
Really?
Isle Royal, Theodore Roosevelt, Congaree, and Great Basin.
Theodore Roosevelt, I want to say it's one of the Dakotas, but it could be Montana too. All right, North Dakota.
Correct.
For which one?
All right, Theodore Roosevelt.
I think we kind of came up with that. You asked a question about the.
Well, that's where he was
Mount Rushmore
cowboy in North Dakota.
Okay, so I'm looking for Congaree, Isle Royal, and Great Basin.
How about Utah for Great Basin?
No.
All right. Leave that out. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, hi. This is Big Rajola in the Carnero.
Hey, good to hear from you.
Could you repeat the answer for the Gino Marchetti question? I didn't quite catch it.
He was a hero. Marchetti was a hero at the Battle of the Bulge, and apparently that got his parents out of an Italian-American internment camp, according to the caller.
Okay. Thanks. So I have a question. Transparency International measures corruption, and they list 175 countries. Can you name the five who are most transparent and the five that are least transparent?
In other words, the most honest.
Yes.
More or less, to do
well,
business.
Well, not necessarily.
And the least honest. You want the five most and least?
Yeah.
I'll say one of the most honest, I think, is Denmark.
That's number one.
Okay. And
should we stay in Scandinavia? Would that help?
Yeah.
Okay. How about Sweden?
Sweden's number four.
How about Finland?
Number three.
Wow.
Okay.
Go Scandinavia.
And there's a tie for number five, and you still have number two.
Okay. Is Norway going to be in there?
Tied for fifth.
There we go.
Wow. They've got that transparency market pretty well locked up over there.
They keep it secret.
Oh, boy. The field gets considerably more crowded with the least transparent. Is Russia one of those?
No.
Okay. Nigeria?
No.
How about Iran?
No.
Syria?
No.
Yemen?
No.
No. Well,
how about Rwanda?
No.
Is this going to be a surprise answer like the United States is
no,
one of them?
No.
All right.
They're probably the ones just a little less corrupt than these five.
Are we in the right neck of the world?
Pretty much.
Okay. How about Afghanistan?
That's number 172.
So that's it. I'm in, right?
Yeah, it's 175 total rating.
Okay, so they're in the lower five. How about Pakistan?
No.
Okay.
How do you measure this anyway, you know?
Just honest business dealings, I guess.
They probably is a method.
Do
you know the standards that they measure?
Because you don't know what is being hidden.
Good point.
Give us a general idea what part of the world the bottom ones are in.
Pretty much almost all in Africa.
Yeah. All right, we don't want to generalize on anything.
Nigeria.
No.
Zimbabwe.
No.
Oh. Okay.
You better give it to us.
Yeah, you better fill it in.
Okay. the least tied for 174th is Somalia and North Korea.
Oh.
And Sudan is 173. You got Afghanistan.
We did.
172. Right. And then 171 is the South Sudan.
Oh, so Sudan and South Sudan. And then who was number two on the most honest?
So we have number two, and then a tie with Norway.
Yeah, you better give it to us, I think.
Yeah, what is it?
Two is New Zealand.
Ooh.
Oh.
And Switzerland is fifth, and the U.S. is 17th out of
curiosity. All right. Well, that's not terrible. All right, thanks.
We have to try harder, people.
Appreciate it, yeah.
How do you measure what's being hidden, what isn't being hidden? If it's hidden, you don't know
it's the unknown unknowns.
Yeah,
Rumsfeld.
Exactly. Proving the negative, in other words.
Lori, I think it's your turn.
All right. I will ask. Oh, I know. I have a couple, what do I have here? Four or five song lyrics of songs you know. And the song titles are questions. So these are responsive to the questions. All right. We've done this before. The first one is, I saw you there one wonderful day. You took my heart and threw it away. Second one is, and remember that the titles are all questions. Gone is the romance that was so divine. 'Tis broken and cannot be mended. The third one is, but it's like trying to tell a stranger about rock and roll. Four is, why do birds sing so gay and lovers await the break of day? Damien knows that one, I think. And last one is, and I was walking down the street one day, a pretty lady looked at me and said her diamond watch had stopped cold dead. All good, okay? So I saw you there one wonderful day. You took my heart and threw it away.
What is this thing called love?
It is.
What is this thing called? As Benny Hill used to say. What is this thing called?
By Cole Porter.
Love.
All right. Second one is gone is the romance that was so divine, 'tis broken and cannot be.
I got
be
that one.
What do you got?
What'll I do?
What do you do? By Irving Berlin. Yes. All right. The other three are a little more contemporary than that.
Yeah.
So the kids call in with, but it's like trying to tell a stranger about rock and roll. Why do birds sing so gay and lovers await the break of day? Oh, everybody knows that one. And
the most obscure one, but people
will know this. And I was walking down the street one day. A pretty lady looked at me and said her diamond watch had stopped cold dead.
Damien wanted to know if one of them was Frankie Lyon.
Yeah, it is. What is it? The title? See, I couldn't.
Yeah, Why Do Folks Fall in Love?
Why Do Fools Fall in Love?
Very
by the great Frankie Lyman
good
and
job.
The teenage.
Yeah, sure.
Teenage.
That's
way to go.
Good job.
All right.
I can hear his voice.
Only two. Yeah, it's a great voice.
Yeah.
Kind of
all right.
Four seasons. Okay, two out there.
Leave that out. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Robert in Berkeley.
Hi, Robert.
Hi, with an answer and a question.
Yes.
Ile Royale National Park is in northern Lake Superior, and I'm not exactly sure whether it's in the state of Michigan or Minnesota, because they kind of meet somewhere in
Michigan.
Michigan, okay.
Good enough.
And a question, I was taking a friend on a tour of the area on a beautiful sunny day on Saturday and encountered a place name that was new to me, but you guys, long-time San Francisco hands, will probably get it right away. So can you tell me what landmark was known by the name Chrysopoli? And I'll spell that, Chrysopolye. Chrysopoli. Any ideas?
So
no.
What place in San Francisco was known by that name?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was known by this name. Now,
is it a section or an actual landmark?
It's a landmark.
Okay. Chrysopoli.
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 Does this name, which sounds Greek, although I may be wrong, sounds Greek to me,
yes.
does this name describe what this is?
Well, not really. No, not, I mean, if you looked at it, you would. If you were naive and looked at it, you wouldn't particularly pick this name.
Okay. Could you explain, without giving anything away, why this name is not being used anymore?
I don't really know.
Too hard to spell.
Except that, in a sense, it is still being used.
Oh,
okay. So it's a specific landmark, but a very a singular place.
Oh, yes.
Was it known as this originally, or It's just kind of a scientific or architectural description.
No, it doesn't. It's not like a Latin name.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay.
Animal or something like that.
It's just, was this what it was originally called, and now it's called something else?
I guess you could say that. Yeah.
We're just muddying the water here, I guess.
Is it a natural place or is it a man-made, human-made place?
Oh, okay. We're getting close to 20 questions, and that's
good. We are. Yeah.
Okay.
That's because we have no idea.
We're stalling.
Yeah.
We only have a half an hour left.
We'll do anything to.
So I guess the.
Just don't want to fail.
No,
the
no.
Bottom line is that we really don't know.
Christofoli.
Not Christofoli. Nothing to do with Christos. No, there's no T. C-H-R-Y-S.
Chrysophily.
Somebody will call
it. So, okay.
Well, that would be like a chrysalis, maybe.
Well,
like
how
about go ahead.
So you were giving your friend a tour of San Francisco, which would include most of the usual things you would show a friend
exactly.
who was visiting the city. So is it possible it's something like Alcatraz?
No.
How about I forget what's the name of the House of Flowers, that glass house?
The Arboretum?
Arboretum.
Oh, that's not bad.
No, but remember, I did admit that it was a natural feature.
Oh,
natural, yeah.
No, you may have admitted it, but I didn't remember it.
We were listening.
Yeah.
Well, Lori asked me, and I did answer.
Okay.
All right. And that's what your 20 questions.
It's true. We should leave that out.
We should leave it out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I'm happy to do
tell,
that.
Tell the board.
How about Twin Peaks?
No.
Okay.
Well, you're very brave to leave it out.
All right, we'll do that.
Somebody will call.
Okay, so we're going to put you on hold, and then you can give the answer, okay?
Okay, thanks.
All right, thank you.
Kurt calls in with some geography questions. He's on this.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to give you a question here. I'm going to give you five cities, and I want you to tell me... This is a project that the Daily Mail in England and Condé Nast Traveler put together. I want you to tell me what of these five cities, in each of these cities, what is the most photographed site? Okay? So what is the most photographed site in each of these cities, according to a survey done online and by the Daily Mail and Condé Nast? Number one is New York. Number two is Rome. Number three is Paris. Number four is Istanbul. Number five is Florence. So I'll give you one guess each. I'll give you one guess on each of the cities, actually, if you want, but only one guess. So, again, what is the most photographed single site in each of these cities? New York, Rome, Paris, Istanbul, and Florence.
Well, the low-hanging fruit. If I'm wrong on the Eiffel Tower in Paris, I'll be surprised.
You are wrong.
All right. Well, yeah. I'm going to be
surprised. I wouldn't have asked if it was the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
I thought that was the trick.
New York. Again. The obvious Statue of Liberty.
No.
Empire State Building.
No.
Okay. Rome.
Alex Rodriguez.
Rome. Parthenon. The Parthenon.
No.
The Colosseum in Rome.
No.
All right. I think we've had our guesses.
So, again, as survey done by Daily Mail and Condé Nast, asked the readers and listeners and online, what is the single most photographed site in each of these cities? New York, Rome, Paris, Istanbul, and Florence. So,
are they a single site or is it like a generic?
No, they're all single sites, basically.
Well known.
Yeah.
Not like the women of Paris or something.
No. Okay. I know that's what you'd be photographing. But
and how they measure this would be an interesting thing.
By the way, you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. If you'd like to give us a call, our lines are full, but they'll have an opening soon. Area code 415-841-4134, 415-841-4134, or toll free 866-798-8255, and we're going to repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet. Jerry?
What state would you find these national parks? We've got all but two. Congaree, C-O-N-G-A-R-E-E, and Great Basin. That's all.
Right. And I have half of my questions. So we know that Dave Starsky was a character on Starsky and Hutch. I want to know who played him on TV and who played him in the movies. And then the other one is Julie Barnes. What TV show is that a character in? Who played her on TV? And who played her
Julie
in the movie?
B-O-N-D?
No, Julie Barnes. B-A-R-N.
Oh, Barnes.
B-A-R-N-E-S. Julie Barnes. Is that Dallas?
It's not.
Not Dallas, because there was a. I thought there was a character named Barnes on Dallas.
Yeah.
Or Cliff Barnes. It was Cliff Barnes.
It's a very popular. Julie Barnes to me is
Julie
iconic.
Barnes.
Julie Barnes is iconic to me from back from when I was a teen, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So
Julie or Julia?
She was a Julie. Yeah, she was a babe. That might be a hit. Damien knows.
Oh, okay.
He knows?
He's not old enough to know.
Julie Barnes.
When he was a teenager, what do you know about that?
Yeah.
That's what he's putting thumbs up for.
All right, fine.
He didn't know I was a teenager.
Okay. And let's see. I still have a couple of lines. These are commonly misquoted Shakespeare lines. I want you to tell me what the actual line says. So the first one is, bubble, bubble, toil and trouble. So what is the actual line that is misquoted there? And the second one is, to gild the lily. What is the actual line that deals with that?
Oh, and I also had my questions. I'm sorry, my lyrics. Can I interrupt? But it's like trying to tell a stranger about rock and roll. That has a question as its title. And as I was walking down the street one day, a pretty lady looked at me and said her diamond watch had stopped cold dead. The title of that song is also a question.
I know the tune of that song.
You want to sing?
As I was walking down the street one day. But I know that's a thing. Yeah, I know this. I know that. It's something from my childhood. Childhood.
When was your childhood exactly?
The 1850s.
Yeah.
Right. No, it was you know, a few decades ago.
The drum and fife corps.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would put it in the 70s, probably.
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they both are. Both of those songs are from your childhood.
All right. And let's see. Oh, I left a question out. After Edgar Allan Poe, who are the two most filmed American authors? Two American authors who have had their works made the most times into films. Laurie got one, which is Stephen King, but I'm still looking for another one.
How about Zane Grey?
That's a very good guess. And yeah, he's been filmed many, many, many times. Yeah. But no, not Zane Grey.
How about Mickey Spillane?
No. When's the last time you saw a Mickey Spillane movie? My gun is hot.
Books, really,
So, all right, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, this is Bill from Bernal Heights.
Hi, Bill.
Oh, I've had six answers taken away from me just before I get on the phone.
There's your bell.
What bell for all of them?
Got a call earlier.
Does anybody know what time it is? Is Chicago?
Yes.
And it is, does anybody really care?
Yes, that's right. Does anybody really know what time it is? Is
does
the title.
Really and know what time it is? Does anybody really care?
That's the answer to the question, yeah.
How about O. Henry?
Yes, you're absolutely right. After Poe, the most filmed American author is O. Henry.
I'm surprised. Do you know
William Sidney Porter.
Yeah.
Oh boy,
that's good.
Yeah, I don't. No, I don't have the number here. Yes, you can get your bill.
Thank you. Oh, hey, I got one for you.
Okay.
You know Spike Jones and his Wacky Wacketeers,
right?
You know what the guy who did the glug glug glugs name was?
Did he go on to become famous, or was he well known?
Sort of.
Is it like Doodles Weaver?
You know,
yeah, that's a good. Right, yeah, he was on.
He was in Spike Jones.
Yeah,
Doodles Weaver was.
Yeah.
How about Milton DeLug?
That's good.
No, it was
Milton DeLug.
How about Frank Duvall?
No,
that's good.
Give.
Who was Crazy Guggenheim? Who was that guy?
Frank Fontaine.
Frank Fontaine.
That's Frank Fontaine. No, his name was Mickey Katz.
Oh, Joel Grey's father.
Joel Grey's dad.
Oh darn, that was my next question.
Oh well,
right.
We're way ahead of you.
My claim to fame, I appeared on stage with Mickey Katz in Miami Beach when I was 10 years old.
What did you do?
I put on a large hat and they made fun of me. You know, I was the stooge from I was 10, and he was a friend of my father's.
Do you remember Katz?
I do. Oh, yeah, I remember Mickey.
He did Yiddish versions of popular songs.
Yeah.
He was kind of Spike Jonze. Yeah, so he was the glug glug.
Early Alan Sherman.
Yeah. The grandfather
to. You give yourself a couple of bells for that.
There you go.
He's the grandfather of Jennifer Grey.
Right.
Of Dirty Dancing.
Hey, well, thanks so much.
Thank you. Appreciate
Great
it.
Question.
Glug glug.
We got to say Milton DeLug's thing.
I love that. Nobody's going to get that, but I like it.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there?
Strangling here.
I hear somebody.
Somebody's being strangled.
Underwater.
You there, caller? Sorry about that. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Yeah, hi, this is Greg in Alameda.
Hi, Greg.
So all my TV watching as a child is finally paying off.
What is it?
Starsky is Paul Michael Glazer.
Yes.
Right.
And then in the movie, it was Ben Stiller.
Oh, excellent.
Right.
And then the other one I know is, you said Julie Barnes?
Yes.
That was the girl from the Mod Squad.
It was.
Oh.
And what, who played her?
I can see her now.
Oh, I think you got it.
Peggy, well, you got Peggy Lipton.
Yeah, Peggy Lipton.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, so the movie was Claire Danes.
Very good.
No, good job.
And who's? Yeah. Do you know whose mother Peggy Lipton turned out to be?
Oh, yeah, that girl on Parks and Recreation.
Yeah. Who is it?
Oh, right. The one that has the sour face all the time. No.
Oh, no, not the sour face one.
Amy Poehler?
No. Not Amy Poehler.
Oh, you're
Rashida,
right.
Rashida Jones.
Yeah, Rashida Jones.
Yeah.
Damien had that.
Yeah, her father was Quincy
Jones. Right. And then I have a guess. The most photographed site in Paris, I think, is the Moulin Rouge.
You're right. It's the Moulin Rouge.
The Moulin Rouge?
Yeah.
No.
I think he had inside information.
What's the source here, Dana?
The source is Daily Mail and Condé Nast Traveler.
Again, how do they know who takes a picture of what?
This is what people say when they don't have the answer. Yeah. They always take issue with the question.
Well, I do, and it sounds a little suspect to
Leah
me.
Leah does the same thing when she's here.
You mean they know all
it's
the
all pictures? Relative. She always says it's all relative, you know.
They know all the photographs that everybody takes, especially these days.
They keep track.
Come on. it's got to be.
Excellent answers. Good on the Julie Barnes.
Thank you very much.
From the Mod Squad. Everybody should know
Peggy
the Mod Squad.
I remember. Yeah. Very sexy.
Yeah, very. Yeah.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
And let's see, Jerry, I think it's your turn.
Okay. What later famous comedian played Frankie the Mailboy on Benson?
So this person became famous later?
Yeah.
Is that Jerry Seinfeld?
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. I know he was on for a little while.
How old young was Frankie the Mailman?
He wasn't a child or anything. It was
No, because Benson's not that long ago.
He was in his 20s.
Yeah. Okay, let me ask one more here while I get the floor. What do these people all have in common? Ryan Gosling, Britney Spears, Kerry Russell, Christina Aguilera, and Justin Timberlake.
They were all Mouseketeers.
Yeah, they were all Mouseketeers.
How do you know
that? Damien had that, too.
Damien knew that, too? Yeah. Oh, it's kind of... Some of them are well-known.
Oh, that's obvious. Yeah. Okay, all right.
Christina Aguilera and Britney Spears.
Britney Spears.
The surprise is Ryan Gosling, who has...
Okay, here's a quickie that you won't know right off the bat. How many people, on average, for the past 3 years are killed by lightning?
So the average over the last 3 years.
Yeah, right? That's right.
And is this worldwide or in this studio?
Is this worldwide or in the United States? Worldwide?
I think so.
Boy, that's tough.
Doesn't make any difference.
I think it's more than five, Damien. Worldwide. No.
Damien has five?
Yeah. I'll say...
More.
I'll say 27.
Killed by lightning.
Killed.
It's one thing to be hit by lightning, another thing to be killed by lightning.
Yeah, it's quite a bit different.
That's what I understand.
I'm going 27.
No.
Too high or too low?
Can't tell you.
I'm going to say 115.
No.
All right.
Anybody close?
Not that close.
All right.
Okay.
Well, not that far either.
All right. Thank you.
How about that for a...
No help at all.
A wimpy answer.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, yes. How are you?
Good.
Very good. So last week I asked you at what temperature... does the centigrade and Fahrenheit equal?
You did ask that.
We did, and we answered it, as I recall.
No, you didn't.
Okay.
No, you answered it.
You
did.
Has the answer changed since last week?
No, it always has been the same. So it's always the same answer. What do you think it is? It's negative. I give you a hand to wish negative temperature.
Yeah, it was. It was like a negative, wasn't it negative 30-something?
No.
Okay. 17?
Because I'm just calling to answer that one.
All right. Go ahead.
40 degrees.
40.
40 degrees Fahrenheit equal negative 40 degrees centigrade.
All right.
One question tonight.
Jerry's going to write this down so he'll have the answer for the rest of his life.
Negative 40.
All right.
I'll have it ready for next week.
Our Star Trek you know, hero died this week, Leonard Nimoy. This country issued a $5 bill in his honor. Do you know which country?
Oh.
This week, actually.
Was it $5? Was that the currency or a different currency?
Yeah. It's $5.
Equivalent of $5.
$5.
Wasn't the United States.
It was long time.
Leonard Nimoy. Why would anyone honor him?
Yeah. Well, the Star Trek thing.
A lot of people across the world like him. I'll just give his answer very quickly to say it is Canada. And his parents migrated from what country to Boston, where he was born in Boston in 1931.
Oh, was he from
Canada?
I think he was from the Ukraine someplace, wasn't he?
You're right.
Yeah.
From the Ukraine.
Parents were from
Ukraine.
Ukraine.
All right. Thank you very much.
Good. All right, thanks, Ed. Thank bye-bye.
He spoke Yiddish. I think Yiddish was his native language.
Yeah, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. And then let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
Thomas in Berkeley.
Hey, Thomas.
What is that song lyric that's left?
It is, but it's like trying to tell a stranger about rock and roll.
Do you believe in magic?
I do. Very good. Oh, by the Lovin' Spoonful. Thank you. Very good. That was fun.
And then I'll try for New York. Rockefeller Center?
No.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
And Lori, has something quick?
I do. Let's see. Who dubbed the voice for Sidney Poitier in Porgy and Bess?
Belafonte?
No.
No. It's William Moorfield?
No.
Somebody
whose child is more famous than he is.
Oh, good clue.
But this person was known as an opera singer.
Mm-hmm.
Whose child is more famous
And is African American.
Mm-hmm. As well as his son. Yeah.
Oh, I know. Bobby McFerrin's father. That's
yes.
right.
Very
yes.
good. Robert yes. McFerrin.
Yeah,
oh,
right.
good.
That's right.
Oh, nice
right.
job.
Good job.
Want another?
No.
Okay.
That's more than enough. No, I'm going to give you...
That made my week.
Yeah. This is kind of... I mean, this is sort of interesting. You randomly cruise around the internet and you find out all kinds of interesting things, some of which are actually true.
That's what you do. Randomly cruise.
I would get questions.
Yeah, it gets pretty random after...
After 18 hours.
After, you know, 1 in the morning. This was originally called the Fuller Building. It's a very famous building in the United States. It was originally called the Fuller Building and was also called, when it was being built, Burnham's Folly, after the architect, Daniel Burnham.
Burnham's Folly?
Yes. And it is also indirectly the origin of the phrase 23 Skidoo.
Wow.
Is that the triangle building, the Flatiron Building?
It is the Flatiron Building. Very good. Very good. Which happens to be at Broadway and 23rd.
Yeah.
And
23 Skidoo, that's right.
23 Skidoo, yeah.
How'd the Skidoo get in?
Yeah, good question.
Because the way the building is positioned, the wind whips around, is forced to whip around one edge of the building, thereby pushing people and lifting up women's skirts and...
that's what Skidoo is.
And pushing them along the sidewalk, and that's what you say, Skidoo. Yeah. So,
23. It's a good answer, I don't believe
really
it.
Good. Yeah. There's a good internet piece of information.
Okay, yeah.
So, there you go. Okay. All right, now you can give your quick question.
Okay. Leslie Gore passed away within the last 2 weeks, and I didn't know that she was nominated for an Academy Award. What was it for, and whom... did she lose? To whom did
was
she
lose?
Was
it a song?
It was. A song that she wrote for a movie.
I read it obviously. A little bit. I can't remember.
It's sort of interesting, both who she wrote it with and who she lost to.
What is her real name? That's also a question.
Oh. I don't know her real
name. It's a Jewish name. Leslie
like Goldstein.
Garfield or Goldstein.
What was the decade? Can you tell us that?
It was in the 80s. That the movie was.
The 80s.
That she wrote the song for.
And did it become a big hit, like her famous hits?
No, but the song she lost to became a big hit, and it's interesting who she lost to.
'80s music. It's kind of a black hole.
And it was a musical movie. There was lots of music in that movie.
Oh.
And what was the decade?
And in the 80s. 1981 is the exact year.
Fame?
Yes.
Oh, good
so fame.
What do you think?
Oh, that's the fame. I want to live forever.
Yeah,
blah,
so
blah,
that's
blah.
The song that won. And she
oh, that's the song that won.
Yeah, and she and her brother were nominated for writing Out Here on My Own, which was in the movie, and then her brother wrote Fame with somebody else. So she lost to her brother.
I didn't know she had a songwriting brother.
Okay. She did, Michael Gore, who wrote Fame and has written a lot of other musical movie
stuff. Interesting.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All
right.
And she lost to her brother, who she was nominated with. So, All right, that was pretty quick.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, guys, it's Alec in San Francisco.
Hi, Alec.
So I think that rather than bubble, bubble, it's double, double toil and trouble.
Oh, that is absolutely correct. Double, double toil and trouble. Very good.
Okay, and the other one is an inference guess. I don't speak any Greek, but I know Thermopylae means hot gates, and so I'm reasoning that maybe Chrysopoly once referred to the Golden Gate.
Oh.
Is that it?
That is correct. You are correct, sir.
Very nice.
Guys.
This is a classical
scholar. Why was it called that, though?
Good job.
Chrysopoly?
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't call with it. They called it.
I don't know.
Yeah. But very good reasoning. Thermopylae.
Very, very good reasoning, yes.
And the Shakespeare.
Yes.
Well, we're classing up the show quite a bit.
Doesn't take a lot.
It's a low bar.
Stinking it up like we usually do. Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Lynn from Reno calling.
Hi, Lynn.
And the person that played opposite Owen Wilson was Ben Stiller.
It was.
And then Snoop Dogg made some appearances in the same movie.
Who did?
Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg. Oh, nice to see him working. Thank you.
No, I'm a fan.
Me too.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Where's my bell?
Oh, quite right. There you go.
Insist upon your bell, people.
Okay, here's a quick question. Lexico, and that's L-E-X-I-C-O, is the original name of what?
Lego?
No. Lexico.
Is it a toy, or is it given a product, or what is it?
It is a... It's toy-related, yeah. Yeah, you're
Lexico.
Right.
You guessed Lego? That's good. Is it a toy company?
It is pleasure related. I mean, it is a activity. That people of all ages can, well, most ages can deal with.
Oh, yeah. Was it the Scrabble?
Yes, okay. Scrabble. Very good.
Because I play a version of it online called Lexalus.
Oh,
yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
All right. Good job. Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Okay, this is Rich in Sunnyvale.
Hi, Rich.
Great Basin National Park, I think that is in Nevada.
You are right, sir.
Good job.
Okay, one more comment about Rosalind Franklin.
Yes.
She might have been cheated out of some publication, authorship, but she did not get the Nobel Prize for the simple reason that she had died young at ovarian cancer.
Oh, right.
And the Nobel Committee does not give posthumous awards. So she was gone by the time they gave Crick and Watson the award.
Very good. Thank you for that.
Okay. Bye. Right.
Thank you.
Good information.
Yes. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Matt in San Francisco.
Hi, Matt.
Hi. Let's see. The most photographed locations in cities.
Yes.
Istanbul. Would it be the Blue Mosque?
It is not the Blue Mosque. Right. Understandable, but no, not that.
Okay. And in Rome, would it be the Trevi Fountain?
It is not the Trevi Fountain.
The Spanish Steps?
Yes, it is the Spanish Steps. Very good. Good job.
And I have a question for you, which you probably won't be able to answer during this show. But
what a depressing way to approach a question. But you're going to ask it anyway.
You're supposed to encourage us.
Just because of time, I think you said.
At least to be a little optimistic. Go ahead.
It's a long answer.
Yes.
Where was the first railway in Latin America, and in what year did it open?
The first railway in Latin America. How long was it? May we ask that?
I'm sorry?
How long was it?
How long?
Yeah.
It was very short.
How about Panama?
No.
Because for the canal, they built a railway.
So when you say Latin America, are you talking...
Including Central America, South America.
Okay. Little America. Let's see. So, was this just for show, or did it serve a purpose?
It actually served a purpose.
Like to take...
I'll say this. It was between... it was from the capital city to another location, not far away.
Okay. Like a palace of some kind, perhaps?
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't for like the Emperor of Brazil or something like that.
But was it used to build things? It was transporting building goods?
That I don't know.
Okay.
So it was the first railway line.
I don't know. I'm not going to be able to give you the year, that's for certain. So the capital city, and so, okay, let me think for a minute. Maybe I can make a semi-educated guess.
I'm wondering, should I also give you another clue? But
yeah.
I might actually give it away, but I'll say it anyway.
Okay.
I want to include, so that Central America, South America, I'm also including the Caribbean, Spanish-speaking Caribbean.
Oh.
So Cuba. Okay. How about Cuba?
It is Cuba.
From Havana?
I knew that would do it.
Yeah, thanks. So what was the deal? From Havana to the sea?
To a place called Bejucal.
Oh. And do we know what it was for, other than...
That I don't know. I'm sorry.
There you go. Thanks for the hint.
Sure. And it was in 1837.
Oh, that early. Oh, yeah. That's interesting. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, guys. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I should give you a bell for Havana, I guess, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Are a Matter. Hi, Peter.
The Golden Gate was so named because of its similarity to the Golden Horn, the strait on which Istanbul sits.
Oh, okay.
For most photographs in Florence, the Statue of David?
It is not.
Okay. I have a question.
Yes.
The team colors of what Major League Baseball team were derived from the colors of the coat of arms of a British noble family?
Whoa.
Is this an East Coast team?
Mm-hmm.
That figures. Is it Baltimore?
It is.
Okay. That makes sense. Because Baltimore was named after Lord Baltimore.
What are the colors?
The Calvert.
Orange and black are their colors, right?
Orange and black.
Yeah. They look a lot like the Giants.
Like the Giants. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Aristocratic colors, definitely.
See, I can figure out sports questions given a reasonable...
That's right.
That was a color question.
You call it
a
color question. Well, no, but if we get to sneak them in, a sports disguises color.
I enjoy those royalty-influenced sports questions.
There's a lot of them. The cricket, the color of a cricket team will be next.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
All right, bye-bye.
Nice.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Are a Matter.
Hi, this is Chris from Sunnyvale.
Hi, Chris.
Of course, all my answers got answered while I was waiting. So it inspired a couple of more questions to follow up. Nancy Culp, whose brilliant work is Miss Jane Hathaway.
Yes.
The Beverly Hillbillies. It wasn't until I got to a college where people had been to prep school and I learned people actually do talk like that.
Oh.
So she and Jim Backus both did that boarding school accent perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
What did she have in common with actor Fred Grandy from The Love Boat?
They both ran for Congress.
They both got elected. Very good.
Oh, did she get elected? Okay.
Yes, I think she did.
From Pennsylvania, I think.
Right.
Okay. Now, I'm sorry. No, I hate to cut you off, but we're almost out of time, so that was... save your question for next week.
Okay.
All right, thanks. And time to clean up here. Jerry, what do we got?
Congaree National Park is in South Carolina. And the average number of people for the last 3 years killed by lightning is 51.
Okay.
We're close enough. I am out. All my questions
That's
were
it.
Answered. I think
okay.
so.
Okay. The most photographed locations in each of these cities. New York, it's the Guggenheim Museum. The Guggenheim Museum, Rome, it's the Spanish Steps. Yeah, the outside and the inside. Paris, the Moulin Rouge. Istanbul, the Maiden's Tower, which is on the Bosporus. And Florence is the Academica Bridge. Is that it? Let me see.
Got the second author, right? Oh, Henry?
Yeah, we got that. Okay, thank you. If we didn't get a call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Wait, I'm getting a busy signal. Jerry Nachman, Lori Fisher, thank you very much, Lori. I've been your moderator, Dan Rodriguez. So thanks to Damian Miner and Steve Wilcott for handling the board and phones. Please join us next Sunday at 7. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Gotta be this or that. If it ain't dry, it's wet. If you ain't got, you get.